This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
If there was an attitude about getting older, maturity, later life that you could change, what would it be? Is there something you've loved about getting older? On the text lines are 448 40 2020. Rodney says grandchildren, one of the best things about getting older. Absolutely. Celebrating family and the joy that kids can bring. It is a whole bunch of fun. But here in Australia, the world's first midlife wisdom school is coming. They are launching the Modern Elder Academy locally for us, a place that teaches people to push back on some of the small sort of destructive thinking that we can have around midlife particularly. And local writer Angela Galloway is going to be one of the mentors there. Angela is somebody who wanted more from the second half of her life than the societal script that she inherited. She took off on a golden gap year and wrote the book Coming of Sage. And Angela joins us now. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
What are the attitudes toward aging and midlife that you really wanted to help adjust?
Look, I think for me personally, it was about sort of navigating transitions. I was kind of hit by a few major life quakes, you know, just approaching my 50th birthday, and I just sort of didn't seem to have the skills to be able to navigate those transitions successfully. So I think for a lot of people in midlife, the ability to sort of navigate transitions, whether that's, you know, physical or personal or interpersonal or career or professional or whatever they are, I think that's not necessarily something that comes naturally to everybody.
Why do you think transition at that stage of life particularly may feel different to at other times of life?
Look, I think at other times of life, you know, people expect, you put a lot of thought into what that typical journey will look like in the first half of life. And I guess the thing is to understand is that we're now living for 30 years longer than we would have been expected to live about 100 years ago. So today at age 50, we're statistically only halfway through our adult lives. So we've got so much to look forward to, but we really need to shift our mindset on aging and reframe midlife from a crisis to a calling. And I think that's where the Modern Elder Academy comes in.
And I think it's such a great idea, bringing this conversation to the fore and also getting people, not just individually, but on a cultural level, to think about how we think about aging and the belief systems that we have around, you know, what it means to grow older and what you do to apply yourself and what to do to enjoy life in that second half, as you mentioned. But one of the challenges is how to adopt a mindset of growth and possibility and excitement for the second half of life in the face of a culture that doesn't always support those beliefs. So how do you do that, and how did you do that personally?
Well, so personally, you know, when I was approaching my 50th birthday, as I said, there was a number of things that happened in this country. I had a parent get sick and die. I got divorced and both my kids left home. And I really felt sort of untethered and kind of marooned between two chapters of life, but not really feeling like I properly belonged in either. You know, I knew I wasn't in the market for sensible or beige or elasticized anything, but the image of society that was reflected back at me was really totally at odds with how I felt. So my personal response was to give myself a year to reset and reboot, and I created my own midlife rite of passage. And I took off on what I call my golden gap year, which is a 12-month solo around-the-world adventure where I trekked in Bhutan and I rode a bike from Prague to Budapest. I walked the Camino Pilgrimage, and then I turned 50 in New York. And while I was travelling, I wrote and researched my book, and it was during this time that I came across the Modern Elder Academy and Tip Conley, who was one of the founders, and I was really just instantly intrigued.
It sounds like having an attitude that embraces adventure and even seeking out adventure, whether that is the opportunity to do what you did and kind of create this gap year, or even just in our everyday at home kind of lives, somehow finding adventure, that sounds like it's really important.
Well, I think adventure, but it's probably more so is just general curiosity. It's just, as you said, it's a growth mindset. It's being curious, it's being prepared to be a beginner again, you know, like learning new things, learning new skills. You know, we've got a lot of life still to live. So it's about sort of saying, you know, I'm not ready to sit on the recliner and, you know, and knit for the next 40 years. I want to really fill my life with purpose and adventure and possibility and be open to that, I guess. Yeah.
And I've read articles where you talk about being a generational perennial. What does that mean?
That was a term coined by Gina Pell, who's an American entrepreneur. And I guess it just means the generationally blurred mindset. So getting beyond the the generational silos that some of us all feel trapped in, and it's just being kind of open and curious and not feeling like you have to abide by certain characteristics that might be tagged as being a boomer or a Gen X or a millennial, and it's just being open and curious and willing to, you know, live life to the full.
And breaking down some of those barriers, I think, as we've said, it's not just a personal thing, but it's something that has to shift culturally. How do you think, as a society, we can be more supportive of whether it's intergenerational kind of friendships or wisdom sharing, whatever it might be? How can we support this breaking down of some of those age-related barriers?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I think there's a lot happening at the moment. There's sort of a real movement, and I think it sort of starts at home, basically. We all just have to be, I think there's an inherent kind of ageist attitude, and I think ageism is probably the last ism that is kind of still culturally acceptable. So I guess it starts as just not feeling like, you know, because someone's 50 or 60 or 70 that they're not capable or able or interesting or any of those things, and just being, you know, just keeping an open mind, and age doesn't define us. And especially in today, there's a lot of people who are in their 50s, 60s, 70s and beyond who are still, you know, very...
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.